Climate change protesters across the country are facing a public and social media backlash today as their demonstrations continue to cause disruption across major cities. Disability advocates are calling on the activist group known as Extinction Rebellion to consider the rights of people with disabilities. It comes after the climate activists allegedly swore at a man with a disability in Melbourne's CBD this morning. The man, Matthew, says he supports climate activism, but their actions are having a disproportionate effect on people with disabilities.
I know that they're trying to disrupt, and that's the purpose of protest, but I think, you know, there's disruption and there's the way that disruption affects different people differently, because disruption, like lots of things, affects people with disabilities with more impact than able-bodied people. I just wish that, you know, when people set up things like this, they would actually consider the needs and rights of people with disability, especially when people with disability do come up to them and say, hey, what do you expect I do? Don't swear at us. Don't call us names. Don't say that we don't matter, because we do.
I'm joined by Kerry Cassidy first. She's Executive Officer of the Disability Resources Centre in Melbourne. Kerry, welcome.
Thank you.
How big of a problem are these protests for people with disabilities?
Well, I'd just like to say, firstly, our organisation, the Disability Resources Centre, and our members have a strong history of protesting and raising awareness for disability rights over the last 38 years. Our walls celebrate the work that people have put in to effect real change for people with disabilities. And this has included, at times, disrupting public services. So I guess my first point would be that I'd like to make is that climate change is an important issue for people with disabilities as much as the wider population. And I think Matthew's point is correct. Disruption affects different people differently. And climate change, like any natural disaster, will always affect the disabled and those with little personal resources the most. Similarly, disruptions, such as what's been happening in cities around the world, are going to impact people with disabilities to a greater degree. For example, if you put a physical blockage in the way of someone with a physical disability, the options to go around it are more limited. Or a person with vision impairment who are used to going to work a certain way can find themselves without those very important landmarks that they use to guide them to work. And people with cognitive impairment, the sounds and the sense of chaos around them can be overwhelming. So overall, these kind of events can be a very stressful experience for people with disabilities.
So how should protesters be changing the way that they organise their protests then to not have this kind of effect on people with disabilities?
Yeah, well, I think my answer is twofold. I think that for any form of protest, there'll always be people with a variety of disabilities who actually want to participate. And it's these people who are precisely the people who can inform organisers of rallies and demonstrations how best to conduct these events to limit that greater impact on people with disabilities.
Through the day, the Extinction Rebellion group offered an apology if this particular incident was true, they said. Do you think an apology is enough?
Well, I think they make a good point. We weren't there in that conversation, so we don't really know what was said. I think people are people, and especially when stress is high and emotions are high, people react in different ways. I did note that the organisers did apologise and that it was a value of theirs, that sense of respect. So in a sense, I think, yes, an apology is, but I think also a acknowledgement and a sense that they consider the impact on people with disabilities would go a long way.
Kerry, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Kerry Cassidy is Executive Officer of the Disability Resources Centre in Melbourne. With me now is an Extinction Rebellion spokesperson, Reem Ramadan, who was at the Melbourne protest this morning and witnessed this alleged incident with Matthew. Reem, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Have you lost public support?
I hope not, but I can understand that obviously this incident would be something that people will want to think about. And we do apologise sincerely to Matthew and to anyone who was severely affected by this.
What do you know? What happened?
So I actually wasn't a witness, I'm sorry, but I have spoken to one of the Extinction Rebellion members, Serena, who was, and who actually spoke to Matthew at the time and offered to support him to get to the bus stop, which was something that he was had been affected by. And also we've spoken to the police about the situation, and understandably Matthew was clearly very agitated and upset about it. So we do apologise for that. And in the past, over the last few days, we have been doing a lot to try and support those who are more inconvenienced than are in situations that make it more challenging. So we have moved out of the way of emergency vehicles when we've disrupted intersections. We've also, there was a pregnant woman who we moved out of the way to let her car through. And we do encourage people that if they're situation is particularly difficult for them, to approach an XR member, an Extinction Rebellion member, and to let them know what's going on, because we need to balance the need to disrupt business as usual, to highlight the climate emergency, with individual circumstances. And we understand and appreciate there are extraordinary circumstances.
How would you describe this morning's events?
They were very disruptive. We had two big actions at rush hour, where people were singing and dancing and highlighting the need for urgent climate action. We were basing them on our two main demands: to tell the truth, because we want the government, the media and corporations to tell the truth about the climate emergency and the impact that is having on biodiversity, and also having on us as people, but also we want them to start acting now and to reduce carbon emissions to net zero by 2025.
There are some politicians who believe you're doing more harm than good with these demonstrations, and not just politicians you'd expect possibly to say this, also politicians who actually, you know, believe fundamentally that climate change is man-made, that there needs to be action. I actually spoke to Mark Butler, who's the shadow minister for Labor, who's on the left side of politics, believes in climate change action, who said that he thinks that you're doing more harm than good to the cause. And he drew a distinction between what you're doing and what the many high school or primary school students are doing by getting on the streets. He said this disruptive activity is actually going to do harm to your movement.
And I appreciate his point of view, but Extinction Rebellion is a movement that's come from the United Kingdom. And in April, when they had their Spring Rebellion, which disrupted London for 11 days, following that, the UK government, a Conservative government, did declare a climate emergency. And they have overwhelming support both in the UK, but we have had a lot of people in Australia, across Australia, show support for us. For many, many years now, people have been trying to get the government to act on the climate emergency and to do something. Scientists have been telling us about global warming for 30 years now, and we're still at the point where our policies are not reflecting the urgent action that is needed. And the global school strike was an amazing event, and but we need to keep on doing more and more. Now is the time for us as people to show how important this is.
Your website lists the Extinction Rebellion principles. One of those explicitly states that your group welcomes everyone and you're working actively to create safer and more accessible spaces. Do you think that's been true today, though?
So one of the other, because that's a very important value for us, and one of the other values is we value reflecting and learning. And we have already started thinking and trying to learn about what we can do. As I said, we already had some strategies in place, but clearly that's not enough. So one of the things that we've been thinking about is having more outreach people that are specifically focusing on supporting people with accessibility issues to help them through the actions. The other thing we want to do is really reach out and engage people from all marginalised groups. We had a People's Assembly today, which kind of links with our third demand of a Citizens' Assembly to direct the government around climate justice, because climate justice is the core tenet of our of Extinction Rebellion, and that's supporting marginalized groups because they're the most affected by the climate emergency. And so I'm really keen to reach out to Kerry or anybody else who's listening who would like to work with us to build a relationship to think about how we can Extinction Rebellion can support people from all marginalised groups, including people with disabilities, better.
We're nearing the end of the week of protests. What more have you got planned?
So tomorrow we have IMARC, which is the International Mining and Resources Conference dress rehearsal. That's happening at the IMARC is a conference that's happening at the end of the month, and it's funded, sponsored by the Minerals Council of Australia, but also Melbourne University, Monash University, and the Victorian government. And it's solely around mining corporations and how we can, who are damaging our country. Tomorrow we will be protesting outside BHP. That is Australia's biggest carbon emitter, and it releases 1% of all carbon emissions into the world since 1998. It's also got a terrible human rights record across the world, but also in Australia. And so,
and what sort of disruption do you want to cause at BHP? Are you going to try and block it so that people can't go in and work there?
We're going to have a mass rally outside there, yes.
You talk about mass, but I do have to pick you up on this. Mm-hmm. When we saw the climate change protests by the young people that I talk about, they were in large numbers. But I don't see large numbers of protesters with Extinction Rebellion. It's small but disruptive.
Yes.
Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you don't actually have many people who are prepared to take the action?
Well, we've most of the people who are part of Extinction Rebellion work. I work. I have a full-time job, and I've taken a week off work. And many of the people that are part of Extinction Rebellion have taken time off work.
And how does your employer feel about that?
My employer is supportive. I am a clinical psychologist and I work with young people with mental health issues. And it's really important to reflect that the climate emergency is a health emergency and it's really affecting all of us. And so it's really important to me. But taking the week off work is actually a big commitment for people, and taking the day off work is a big commitment. So our movement is growing and we want to grow bigger and bigger. And this is our first big week of action.
One of the critiques of your movement is that it's become highly emotional, and a lot of emotional language is used, whereas this is actually about science and facts. Do you risk actually, you know, damaging your movement by using highly emotive, emotional language rather than pointing political leaders to the facts consistently, rather than making it this very highly charged issue?
Yeah. So for the last 30 years, scientists have been clearly saying the facts and talking about the science. You know, the IPCC report, at the United Nations a few weeks ago, it's very clear what the facts are, and the government is still not listening. And what we know is that by expressing the emotion, the fear and distress that millions of people are feeling about the climate emergency, but also giving a way for people to take action, giving the message that there are things we can do, that is the way to build the movement, to build people power, and to express to the government what we need.
And what's your measure of success after a week like this?
Well, we've had an increase in people coming up to us, talking to us, signing up to be part of Extinction Rebellion. And we keep and we intend to keep on building the movement and keep on applying pressure to the government until we get our demands met.
Reem, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Reem Ramadan is Extinction Rebellion's spokesperson. I think they have a few, but she's one of them. This is RN Drive.